With me, Bibles, please, for our second reading to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Again, another first chapter in our reading today. Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua, chapter 1, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong, and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, then will not hearken unto thy words, and all that thou commandest him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. It may fairly be said then in the introduction that the author is Joshua. However, not all of the words we have in this book are likely from his pen. There are a few that were written after his death, his own death, the death of Eleazar, the conquest of Hebron by Caleb, Debir by Othniel, and the Danite migration. So it seems that chapter 15 is inserted for literary and not for chronological considerations, probably written by one of the prophets that wrote the Judges. However, in his defense also, we have direct statements of his own writing the book in 24:26, the account that is written by an eyewitness, and that he had Moses for his mentor, whom he no doubt watched write and store up the word of God as it flowed from his pen. So then the most reasonable understanding based upon the available scriptural evidence is that Joshua wrote the basis for the book and that it was later amended under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost by an elder or prophet in Israel, perhaps one of the number mentioned in 24:31, and also probably one of the same authors that wrote the book of Judges. The date? Well, the book follows directly upon the heels of Deuteronomy, does it not? Being a continuation of the history of the covenant people, especially as they enter a new phase of their history and that of inheritance and conquest. And so the date that is normally put forth by believing scholars is 1407 BC or thereabouts. Remember that the children of Israel come out from Egypt somewhere around 1450. This is 40 years later. The chronology, because we're counting down to zero, right, because we're in B.C., so it goes backwards instead of what we would normally think. So it's from 1450 to about 1410, 1407, somewhere in that era. The commencement of Israel in the land of promise is the main focus. The writing of the book itself is thought to cover about 24 years or so. The content is a continuing record of the covenant people, a record of the faithfulness of God as he performs in history what he has promised to the patriarchs and later to Moses and the nation, fulfilling his earlier promises. And notice that as we have the witness of the fathers that continues into the book of Joshua, so also we can hear the echoes of Moses as they also continue into the book of Joshua. Moses is identified in this first chapter three or four times as the what of God, the servant of God. Joshua also his servant, God's servant. And remember how in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 and following, the writer there makes specific mention of that particular title, that Moses was a servant in the house, but Christ is a son over the house. And we'll see that also as the pre-incarnate Christ appears as the angel of the covenant and Joshua falls down at his feet before him. All right, so diving in then to verse 1 of chapter 1, the book opens as a continuation. We don't miss a beat. As Moses goes up to Mount Pisgah to die in the end of the book of Deuteronomy, which we believe was probably penned by Joshua, so then Joshua carries on the history directly here into chapter 1. This should serve then to humble us in that Moses' ministry came to an end, right? Because there's no such thing as an indispensable person. True? True. As many have said, let me say it that way, the graveyard is full of indispensable people that we learned and they learned that they were not so indispensable after all. And so as great a man as Moses dies and the Lord raises up another in his stead. So this should serve to humble us. And if it is so for the highest work on earth, that of the church, it is also sure for the various callings that we have and by which we, with God's help, support our families. Men are expendable, as it has been said. We see also the faithfulness of the Lord here. He knows that we are in need of leaders from age to age, that not everyone is to be a leader, that not everyone that we ought not to have is, has been said, a pope in every pew or a president in every home, that there are classes of men, that there are leaders to be appointed over other people, that there are leaders in the church, that there are leaders in the state. And so this is true. And so the Lord provides. He provides them a leader in the place of Moses. The church does not go into oblivion at the death of any one individual, for it is founded upon the death and resurrection and ascension of its head. However, he has promised a government in his church as necessary for its edification, Ephesians 4:11 and following. His faithfulness is also seen in the continuation of his covenant promise and in the keeping of his promises associated with it. Moses is dead. Abraham is dead. But the promises go on. For God is the Lord of the covenant, and he will ever be there to keep that word that he has spoken. And so the word is spoken to Joshua, be strong and very courageous. And notice the word only at the front of that, and let me just make a distinction between 17th century use of the word only and our use of the word only. If we say only this, as if to minimize or to make something less than it ought to be considered, right? Only. The only thing that is required, Joshua, is that you be faithful. That's not how it's used. That's not what the original tends to convey. The original tends to convey this. Be singular in this. Set your mind singularly on this thing. Only be strong and courageous. Not only, but only, if I can put it that way. So that Joshua is told, among all other things that you will do, keep this as your singular focus. Be strong and courageous. If you remember, the people also tell him that, don't they? The people make that same proclamation to him. Be strong and very courageous. And so even our leaders need encouragement from time to time. They need to know that we are praying for them. They ought to receive a word of encouragement and appreciation from time to time. They also are compassed about with great weakness. And so they also must take time to steady their own hearts, to remain diligent in their calling, and to keep the law of God upon their tongues and in their thoughts, and then guiding their actions. All right, so we have here in verses 10 through 15, the commander commanding readiness for battle to Joshua. And we have the immediate obedience of Joshua. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people. So the Lord commands him. He immediately turns and commands the officers of the people. And he says to them, first, prepare yourselves. Make yourselves ready. There's a New Testament phrase for that, by the way, that belongs to all of the people of God. Paul uses it in Ephesians chapter 6 when he's talking about the panoply, the whole armor of God. It is to gird up your loins. Make ready. That's what that phrase means. Make ready. Prepare yourselves. And so as Joshua commands them, so the apostle commands us. Make ready. Make ready for the battle that we are to do. Put on the whole armor of God. Have that truth for your readiness, right? Having your loins girt with truth, girt about with truth, as he says. So having that word of God at ready. He says also, stick together to them. Make yourselves ready. He says, stick together. Keep your commitments to your brothers and sisters. Commitments to live holily. Commitments to be ready to give help one to another, to live as a community and not as a band of unconnected families. And so we remember this even today, do we not? And then in 16 through the end of the chapter, notice the people return to Joshua that commitment. We will hearken to your leadership. As we hearkened to Moses, so shall we hearken unto thee. Now, if you're Joshua, what are you thinking at this point? Well, I remember how you hearkened to Moses. I think I'd want a little better than that, maybe. But no, we're moving forward in a positive direction, right? We're not hearkening back to past faults. This is a new day. It is a new age. And so we're heading into this land with the positives, with encouragements toward one another. And so they say to him, as we hearken to Moses, so will we hearken unto thee. And Joshua then continues to command under those auspices. Finally, we are to make sure that this belongs as an attitude to us all. In other words, we are not only to look to our leaders to police us, but to police one another as well. Right? What does the apostle say to the Roman church in chapter 15? You're able to admonish one another. You're able to warn one another. You're able to counsel, to encourage one another to your duty. And so also here, we remember that while there may have been a few in that day that were out of line with those commitments, that they had the bulk of the congregation to follow by way of example and to encourage them to their duty. All right, so thus ends the reading then of Joshua chapter 1. There are many wonderful